Ben Fred Fridays on Scoops with DannyMac.com, and we'll visit with Ben Fredrickson coming up at the Post-Dispatch. A reminder, this is always brought to you by Blue Tail Medical Group, great alternative to having surgery. So before you have that surgery, doctors from all over the world are coming to Blue Tail Medical Group to find out how they're doing it. They'll get you back in the game or any walk of life before you have that surgery right away. Find out what they're doing. It's BlueTailMedicalGroup.com, BlueTailMedicalGroup.com. Hey, good morning, Ben Fredrickson of the Post-Dispatch, who's down in Jupiter, Florida with the Cardinals. How are things going?
I'm doing well, Dan. Good to be with you. Happy Friday, and happy, it's not a happy, I shouldn't use that word, but 1 year ago, vividly, I remember sitting with you in the broadcast booth at Roger Dean Stadium as you were about to call the final Cardinals spring game of that spring training before things were canceled. It's 1 year ago today. Can you believe that?
No, I can't. And I remember we were just, you know, wondering what would happen. And the night before, Rudy Gobert tested positive. Yep. And we're trying to figure out whether or not they were even going to play that game. They did. And it was an eerie game that afternoon, wasn't it?
I think it was. I mean, not that I've been doing this forever, but it's by far the strangest game I've ever covered. Players weren't sure if they should be playing. They thought the game was going to get bagged. There was a sizable crowd on hand, but the crowd was distracted, constantly checking their phones and wondering what the latest was, as the pandemic news was growing. Even I think earlier, I went back and looked this up that morning. The governor of Florida had said that there should be no gatherings over 250 people. And there we were at a ball game with, thousands of fans. And also, I think, you know, nobody knew. And there was a moment where the tour was coming through the press box, and you and I were like, what are we doing here? And look at all the things that have happened since then, man. The Cardinals became kind of the test case for COVID in pro sports. And I remember very vividly how, you know, they were made out to be this terrible team that had, you know, brought COVID on, and, you know, they were going to be made example of. Well, now we saw how impossible it is for teams to dodge this thing. It's just been a surreal year, and I'm grateful and thankful that it's at least ending on a more positive note. I mean, these vaccines are rolling out. We've got fans coming back to the ballparks under some precautions and protocols, but those are going to hopefully be eased as more people are vaccinated. So it's been a hellacious year, but it does feel like on the anniversary of the shutdown of spring training that we're starting to see some light at the end of the tunnel here.
Yeah, we are. I remember doing the game. I was with Ricky and Keel, and Rick was checking his phone and calling the Boris group that represented him because they represent so many players. And, you know, the rumor was at that time they're going to shut this thing down, and here we are playing baseball. I think it was Adam Wainwright who made that start.
It was.
And he was sailing through, and it felt like the end of spring training game. Guys were just not really grinding through at bats. It was one of those games is like, let's just get it over with and let's move on and figure out what we need to do. And I remember looking at the crowd and the murmur of the crowd once, the word got out too that, hey, the season's going to be postponed for a two-week period, at least suspended for a two-week period. And that got out during the game, and we're thinking, why are we here? It was just surreal as I reflect on it now, which it seems like a decade ago.
Yeah, the season was officially postponed, announced by Major League Baseball, I think 29 minutes after the final play. The Cardinals did win 3-0. Adam Wainwright pitched well, and I believe that Giovanni Gallegos struck out Mag Sierra for the final out. I would not have remembered any of that if I would not have looked at the box score today, because none of us were paying attention to the game.
No, we weren't.
It was because it was surreal, players included. I mean, it was Matt Carpenter who said afterwards that it was the most pointless game in the history of sports, which was a quote that has held up well historically over time. I mean, by the time guys left there, it was all over. And at the time, looking back to that 2 week postponement of the regular season was laughably short. Obviously, I mean, it went 4 months before baseball was back. And think about all of the things that the Cardinals went through from that point. I mean, spring training gets bagged. They have the 3 months, you know, wait. They are told to come back for summer camp. You know, you go from 162 to 60, and that's every team, not just the Cardinals. Then they get into the season, and they've got double digit case outbreak. You know, 17 days without a game. You come back and play that ridiculous schedule full of doubleheaders. There's guys, they're remaking the roster every game. Mike Maddox talked today, or Thursday afternoon, about what this looked like for his end. I mean, he was the guy most responsible for all those pitching schedules and making, trying to figure out how to go from plans for 162 to 60, now going back to 162. And he said it was, you know, he coined that phrase that we heard Schilt use a lot last year, that elite adjuster. And the Cardinals, to their credit, they adjusted well enough to make the playoffs despite having the, everything but the kitchen sink thrown at them. They hope to do a lot less adjusting in 2021, but it's also been a reminder down here that they can't just flip the page and say, well, that it's all normal now. I mean, there are problems and issues with going from 60 games to 162. It's factoring into how they're going to use Alex Reyes with that 80 to 100 inning pitch limit. It's factoring in their conversations for how to handle certain players. It's part of the reason we're seeing kind of, you know, them roll out Jordan Hicks slowly. They're especially with their pitchers, they're going to be careful early on, especially with their starters. They're not going to let these guys go out and pitch nine games because they're worried about just the way the season's going to play out a little bit. And they feel like that's going to be a cross baseball trend, trying to keep their eyes on guys and make sure everybody's really ready to go before they unleash them.
Well, let's talk about making that adjustment. And it starts this week. They get the news on Miles Michaelis. What are your thoughts on that? And how do they fill that fifth starter spot?
Well, I thought we would get a little more clarification on Michaelis Thursday. We didn't too much, although Schilt did say Thursday that they took the medical scan. There's no, you know, obvious sign of big structural damage or anything. So they're cautiously optimistic that Miles isn't going to be out for too long, but he will miss that at least his first start of the regular season. Now, I think it's fair to have a red flag on this. The guy missed all of last year with the forearm. He was supposed to be ready to roll this spring, hasn't been. The shoulder's causing problems. It's probably related to the forearm. We don't know everything, but we know there's some signs here that say, yeah, this isn't a good situation. So it's fair to talk about what happens if he's out for longer than just that first start. It sounds like, talking to Maddox on Thursday, that they're willing to do kind of, you know, the five man, but they're also going to have kind of a sixth type guy. And, you know, he calls it, quote, honoring the off day. And you know what he means by that, Dan. It's basically when you have the off day, you let an extra off day pop up, you let guys take it. You don't restructure your rotation, bakes in some extra rust, but it requires you to have someone else, you know, I guess technically pseudo sixth starter. Sounds like that's going to be kind of their plan early. They've built up their bullpen to be so strong that they don't need their starters to go crazy deep into every game, especially early. The conversation, I think it starts with John Gant. I like him more personally as a reliever, but he's made the case that he, you know, wants to be considered a start, and he's pitched well. I think you put Johan Oviedo in that conversation. The Cardinals have hit him a little bit on the backfields, but I think they like him for that spot, maybe more than they're letting on and trying to hide him a little bit, just to kind of keep the chatter down some. We see them do that sometimes. They kind of did the same thing with Dylan Carlson at one point. You also have, you know, Daniel Ponce de Leon. And I think they like Jake Woodford quite a bit too. So those are the guys in the mix now. And we'll kind of see the rest of the spring how it plays out. I don't think that they're going to look to add a starter right now. They could at some point if something else goes wrong, unless they're kind of, you know, keeping it off the radar. It just doesn't sound to me like they're real interested in any of the remaining free agents. I'm curious what they would have maybe done if Jake Odorizzi was still available. But he signed, of course, with the Astros last Saturday. The Cardinals had looked into him before spring training started. If they would have had a different timeline on the Michaelis setback, I wonder if he would have maybe wound up with the Cardinals.
So what are you saying then? By my count, I think they have four off days in the first 21 or 22 days of the regular season. How do they handle that off days as it pertains then to the rotation if they go to a six-man rotation?
The best way to explain it is they're going to take advantage of those off days early in the season to give their guys the rest. You know, so they'll keep at least 5 days. And then if they see an opportunity to maybe get a guy, skip a start, they might do that. But as the kind of they get to the regular grind of the season, they're going to, I think, pop some off days in there for guys, and then also make sure that guys are not getting sped up or ahead of the rotation because of the schedule. So I think what they're looking for, and they're not going to call it, I don't think, a traditional six-man rotation, but I wouldn't be surprised if they have a couple guys or one guy who kind of emerges as a six starter type, and it becomes a, you know, maybe a guy skips a start, or they have a skip start for every guy in the rotation, or at least the guys who maybe aren't going to be pitching as deep. They're not saying exactly specifically, Dan, what their plan is, other than that they're viewing this as more than just five guys and that's it. And the question will then become who is the fifth starter until Michaelis is back. And then who is kind of the pseudo starter if they're going to go that route.
How do you feel about Reyes exclusively being in the bullpen?
I personally think that, you know, they could have gotten maybe a guarantee of more competitive innings out of him if they would have tried to start him. I like the idea of a really X factor 100 inning type reliever. Like, I think the concern is, how do you find high leverage innings to use him in that role? If Reyes is pitching 180 to 100 high leverage innings, that's as a reliever, that can be really good, maybe even better than like a shorter, a starter who's held the shorter innings. But I think the fear is, if he's a reliever and you're trying to get him to 80, 100 innings, are there going to be games where you bring him in a 6-1 game so he can get the innings? You don't really want to be using Alex Reyes, based off of what we've seen this spring, as like a mop-up guy. You know, you want those innings to matter, and they can matter a lot if you're using him in high leverage, but there's also a risk if you get to the point where you're chasing innings that you're going to be using him in innings that don't count. An inning always counts when it's starting and the game is 0-0, right? I mean, those are important innings. They might not be high leverage as a save, but they matter. Sometimes innings in a lopsided game, they don't. I understand the limit. I just think there are probably going to be a lot of starters this year who pitch around 100. So I'm not sure why Reyes couldn't do that, especially when, you know, they have some other guys in the bullpen who I think could be really, really good. So we'll see. I mean, I think you see how they use it. But if they end up using it where Reyes is pitching a bunch of non-leverage innings, then it's going to be, I think, a wasted opportunity. He feels like he can start. He feels healthy. Their data, and Maddux explained this, their data kind of suggests that guys aren't really right post Tommy John surgery until like 2 years after. He's had a lot of injuries. You know, he didn't pitch much last year. He hasn't pitched much at all in the majors just because of the injuries and then the pandemic. So I think they're still just worried about him holding up physically. Hopefully this will be the final year where they have to worry about that, and next year they can have him in the rotation full time. We'll see how this year goes.
Yeah, if the data says that, I got to wonder how they use Jordan Hicks this year, especially early on coming off of Tommy John.
I think they're going to ease him back, and it's probably going to drive fans crazy because he pitched in a backfield game the other day, Dan, and he was throwing like 102, 103 strikes, and it looked easy. Like, it just looked like he wasn't trying to throw hard. He looks physically imposing. I mean, he looks bigger, stronger than he looked the last time we saw him, and I think we're going to see him in a Grapefruit League game really soon, like really soon. So he's going to be in the mix for closer right away. I wouldn't be too shocked if they don't spread those opportunities around some. I think the question for him is going to be how much they'll want to use him, you know, game after game after game. Is he going to need some more off days than you would have of a traditional closer? I think by the time they get to the most important part of their season, they're going to want him to be the locked in guy pitching consecutive days, no matter what, when the save situation arrives. But I wouldn't be surprised if they don't start that way.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement with that. And I think you got to be careful with him. Are you concerned at all with Matt Carpenter? And I'm not one that gets into the numbers of spring training, but he's a different case. There's a little bit more pressure on him. Anytime you make that kind of big money, you want to see performance. He's kind of a lightning rod here in town in terms of people want to see production. He hasn't had that type of production for a while, and he has not performed in a while. In terms of what we've seen in the past, he doesn't have a hit in this spring. Are you concerned at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to be a little too optimistic not to be. Carpenter's not pleased with the start of his spring. He's probably the one guy on the team who could least afford a start like this. I think he's got the worst hitless streak right now of anybody in the Grapefruit League. At one point, he was the only player in both leagues, Cactus and Grapefruit, to have 11 at-bats without a hit. I know we're not talking big sample size stuff here, but he knows that he's got to hit in order to play. I mean, the Cardinals are not going to come out on March, you know, what is it today, middle of March, and say, hey, he's a bench player no matter what. No, but the truth is right there for everyone to see. The Cardinals added Nolan Arenado. They're pointing to Tommy Edman as the starter at second base. They hope that Matt Carpenter can find a role on this team, but as of right now, he's not forcing the issue. If he doesn't force the issue, it's going to be very easy to let him sit on the bench. I know some folks will raise a racket about having a guy who's struggling on the bench, but I really think I have a hard time seeing the Cardinals pay Matt Carpenter that much money just to not try to play. That doesn't mesh with the relationship they have with him. I think they want to find a way to make him have a role. And I think he could have a role if he can get something going. I don't think it's the starter at second base. I think he could be a productive bat off the bench. I think, you know, as you've talked about, you know, smartly, the trouble for him is that, you know, the strength breaks down over the season. You know, he just has a hard time, I think, staying at his peak for the whole season. So could he be really valuable in a lesser role? Probably, if he can find his stroke, if he can hit. If he's just taking walks, probably not. The strikeouts have been concerning. The good news for him is that he's looked really good at second base, like really good defensively. I know everybody, you know, likes to crack jokes about his arm at third, but he's made some really exceptional plays at both positions so far this spring. So the glove is looking good. It's the bat, and he's going to have to hit the play. He knows it. Right now he's not. So, yeah, I think there's a fair level of concern.
Who else has stood out for you? We're not down there, so we don't see it. Anybody else really stood out for you?
Well, I mean, you remember when Goldschmidt came, and we all knew, like, his first base defense was excellent, but we all kind of were reminded watching him and learning, at least I was, how everybody around him was getting better because of him. You know, every throw that used to go between somebody's legs or over his head, like, you realize, like, how much he'd lifted just an infield. We're kind of seeing some similar things there in Arenado. Like, he's good. And you see on SportsCenter, you know, the best plays that he made every night, we would see him. But we probably didn't see are like just the really hard plays that he makes look routine. Not the ones that go viral on the internet, but just like that's an out. And for most guys, it would have been sit on the ball and let the guy get an infield single. And you would go, man, I'm impressive that the guy stopped the ball and didn't let it get to the outfield. No, he makes the play and then makes the throw. That's been impressive. Yachty looks really good, man. Just throwing the ball hard. He just looks like he's turning back the clock again. Same for Wainwright. He looked very sharp. I'm not too worried about any of the starters' scuffles this early in camp. You know, Kim, for example, has only been working on like one or two of his pitches per start. So we really haven't seen, I think, full KK yet. Flaherty looked sharper against Max Scherzer. I thought that was a nice start for Jack. He wanted to get on the main field and face Max, and he didn't have a perfect game. He gave up a 2-run homer, but the first three innings looked really good. He looked like kind of the guy we know that he can be. The outfield is interesting. I mean, Lane Thomas had the hot start. Tyler O'Neill kind of has answered. I'm curious to see how that plays out. It sure seems like the Cardinals are determined to have Bader and Carlson starting, which leaves kind of Lane Thomas and Tyler clashing for left. Schilt has kind of tipped his hand toward O'Neill a little bit by indicating that he thinks he has earned first reps there. I don't necessarily agree with that, but Lane Thomas is going to have to come take it. And especially if Tyler O'Neill is hitting home runs, then Lane Thomas is going to have to do something to make it obvious that he should be playing more. Justin Williams has been hitting the ball hard in camp. I wouldn't completely rule him out of this conversation, especially if he's out of options. We still don't know yet. That somehow, I mean, this is bizarre. Talk about weird things. They still don't know if this kid is out of options or not, which is going to probably help determine how this roster is shaped. Parsons has looked good out of the bullpen. They really like him. I think he's kind of slowly impressing and quietly impressing the team. And I probably have missed some guys. I want to see one thing. I want to see Nolan Gorman play some second base.
Yeah. Me too.
He's looked good. He's looked really good at third. I can remember thinking a couple of years ago that, man, is his glove going to catch up to his bat? Well, he's improved a lot at third, and I hope that we see him at second base some here later in camp, because that could be a conversation at some point. If he lights it up this year, then maybe the conversation becomes, you know, why isn't this guy being used off the bench for the Cardinals in major league games that count, especially if Matt Carpenter is still struggling.
A name I have not heard a lot about, Ben, up here is Zach Thompson. Have you seen much of him?
Not a ton. He and Liberatore both have been pitching, but you know, they haven't been, you know, demanding their presence be known, really. I would say, I think hopes for him are still really high. I also think too, the Cardinals are not trying to fan the flames on those guys because they know how much interest there is in them. But no, we haven't been forced yet to have a conversation about where those guys will be in terms of making the opening day team, although they could be close.
And then finally, the game tonight will be televised. Are we going to start seeing the pitchers hit and starting to get them ready for the regular season?
Yeah, they've been hitting on the backfields and have been for a while. But they Adam Wainwright is going to hit tonight. Then he will start the pitchers hitting in games. It sounds like they're going to do that the rest of the way here. So that's something that begins, of course, with Silver Slugger Adam Wainwright. You know, it doesn't sound like the DH is going to be coming. And if it does, it's going to be coming late. So they're going to start trying to get these guys in there and get them used. Most of these guys have hit before, but not KK very much. So it could be some interesting at bats for him. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't do much swinging, Dan.
Doesn't surprise me one bit. Really good information, Ben. Thanks for doing this as always on these Fridays, and stay safe down there in Jupiter, and we'll catch up next week.
All right, sounds good, Dan. Let's have a better 2021, right?
Oh, man, isn't that no truer words have been spoken there. That's Ben Fredrickson. We do this every Friday on Scoops with Danny Mac, and this is presented by the good folks at Blue Tail Medical Group, and see what they offer for you at bluetailmedicalgroup.com.